Welcome to More Than Wealth with Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins from the Gold Wealth Management Group. In this podcast, we help business executives, business owners, and high net worth individuals navigate the multifaceted world of wealth planning. No matter how complex the situation, we provide financial advice and guidance to instill greater confidence in pursuing your life's goals. By leveraging the vast resources of UBS and collaborating with a team of external specialists, we'll delve into both basic and complex planning topics. Beyond the numbers, we'll also explore the stories behind the wealth. By interviewing business owners and thought leaders in our community, we aim to share insightful and inspiring tales of success. Join us on this journey where we explore wealth and the compelling stories behind it on More Than Wealth.
Hello and welcome to the More Than Wealth podcast with the team from Gold Wealth Management Group. This episode's guest is Jeff Lanza, an award-winning, nationally known speaker whose career as an FBI special agent has fueled his passion for helping people and organizations. During the 20-plus years as an FBI agent, Jeff investigated cybercrime, organized crime, human trafficking, and terrorism. Since his retirement from the FBI, he has informed, inspired, and entertained in 49 states and to thousands around the globe. Jeff has presented at Princeton and Harvard universities and written two highly reviewed books. He's featured in a Netflix documentary about the FBI, and he often appears on national television news programs such as CNBC and CNN, where he talks about the growing threat of cybercrime. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Gold and Samantha Hotchkins.
If someone gets a call and says their family member's in trouble, I always tell people, hang up the phone. It's not your family member, right? Now, then pick up the phone and call that person and the number you know to be for them. If they're in trouble, you're going to be able to help them.
Hello, and welcome back to More Than Wealth. I'm Darren Gold here with my co-host, Samantha Hotchkins. And today we have a conversation about a topic that affects each and every one of us.
That's right, Darren. Our guest today is Jeff Lanza, a retired FBI agent with over 20 years of experience investigating cybercrime, fraud, and identity theft. He's advised Fortune 500 companies, spoken at the highest level of government, speaker on CNBC, Bloomberg, and now he's here today to help all of us understand how to protect our wealth in an increasingly digital world. Jeff, welcome to More Than Wealth.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Samantha, for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. But Jeff, before we get started, we have to hear the story about how you became an FBI agent.
Oh, well, I mean, I became an FBI agent because I used to want to investigate the mafia. Growing up in my family on Christmas, we had a tradition. I grew up in a big Italian family. There were five boys. And every Christmas, we sat around a TV and watched a movie that taught me about life and loyalty and how business should be conducted. And everybody thinks the movies, It's a Wonderful Life. That's not the movie that my family watched. The one we watched was The Godfather. Every Christmas, and that got me interested in the mob.
Oh, I love it.
Investigating the mob. So back in the 1980s, I joined the FBI because I wanted to investigate the mafia, which was really big back then. So that was the main reason why I got involved in law enforcement, because I thought it was the mafia was just something that needed to be investigated more thoroughly. So
I love that. Great story. So let's change gears and let's just jump right into cybercrime. So, you know, preparing for this podcast, you know, just doing a little bit of research, I came across a stat that I wanted to run by you. I found it just absolutely staggering. So according to Cybercrime Magazine, if cybercrime were a country, it would be the third largest country behind the U.S. and China. Last year, I believe it was global cost of cybercrime, I believe, was $15 trillion. And next year, it's slated to be, or actually 2027, it's expected to be $24 trillion, which, I mean, I'm looking at those numbers and they're hard to believe. You know, if you think about it, it amounts to the largest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. And the transfer is going to those who have earned it, to those who have stolen it. So just thinking about those numbers, first of all, those correct? Because they just seem outrageous.
They are pretty outrageous numbers. And, you know, you have to see what they're including there in those numbers. You you look at various statistics that are thrown about with regarding cybercrime, and they range from billions to trillions. And you know, you really have to quantify that and qualify that to see what they're including. If you include the transfer of wealth that has to do with intellectual property, like other governments stealing U.S.'s intellectual property from corporations and building, you know, airplanes and military equipment and things like that with our technology, you know, that number would go up dramatically. If you're just including, you know, things like identity theft and stealing from corporations because they hold their computers hostage as a, for ransom payments, you know, the number is going to be a little different. So I take some of those numbers with a grain of salt, but they are huge. What really concerns me is the amount of money that's being lost by individuals, senior citizens especially, who are being victimized by scams. You know, they've saved all their lives for retirement. And, you know, you guys, you help them with that and planning for that. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and hits their account with some computer scam. And all of a sudden now it's a whole different situation in terms of the money that they've lost and how they're going to plan for retirement. That's what concerns me more than some of those bigger, you know, attacking a U.S. corporation. I mean, you know, I want to help the little guy.
Yeah, totally. Before we jump into kind of the tips on protecting our assets, I really want to talk about the evolution of financial crime. So with your decades of experience in the FBI, how have these threats evolved over time?
Well, you know, when I joined the FBI, again, fighting the mob back in the 1980s, we didn't have, you know, the internet and you know, financial crimes really, you know, were mainly limited to, you know, for individuals, were limited to stealing people's checks, washing checks, and which is still happening today, by the way, or just tricking people into sending money in, you know, in some related to some scam. But now the whole world is opened up to through the internet to convince, they can convince people now without even having to literally talk to them or see them in person. It's all based on, you know, these virtual scams, and it's evolved in a way where they can use their technology, including AI, which has come along also to help criminals commit scams, you know, to literally defraud dozens or hundreds of people at the same time with one person just doing that, you know, behind the shield of the internet and AI.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, how quickly the landscape has changed. And you mentioned AI. I've heard kind of both sides of the coin, where, you know, AI is going to only make things more complicated, more difficult, and easier for the criminals. But I've also heard that there are systems in place that a lot of the cybercrime companies are using to help prevent against it. So you kind of hear both sides of the coin. What are the biggest financial scams you're seeing right now? So thinking about our clients, you know, the little people, as far as, you know, the crimes taking place, what are you seeing right now? What should we be most concerned about?
I think the two most common things that clients should be concerned about are, number one, tech support scams, which is generating a huge amount of money for criminals. You mentioned that number of trillions of dollars. That's a billion right there. 1 billion that have been reported to the FBI. And that's just the ones that reported. Most of those crimes don't get reported. So tech support scams, someone gets a pop-up on their computer, call this phone number. There's something wrong with your computer. We're going to help you fix it. They want remote access to the computer. They can put malware on it. They can steal information from it. Basically, they gain control and a lot of bad things can happen. And then they want to get paid for their services, which that weren't needed in the first place. And they'll do it through gift cards or virtual currency, and which can't be traced to them or clawed back. So that's been a big profit center for criminals. The other one is romance and related scams. It's where someone preys on a vulnerable person. It could be a widow or a widower or other people under different sets of circumstances, but they use fake profiles, fake pictures, and they will target people over sometimes days, weeks, or months until they've eventually asked for money. And that once that money is sent, it is impossible to get it back. It could be romance related, specifically romance, or it could be romance tied to investments, a combination of both. And people are sending money because they get psychologically hooked into these deals. And the criminals know that once you send money, they will continue to send money. The victims will continue to send money because they want to reinforce the notion that I haven't been victimized. I wouldn't send money to someone if it wasn't really true. And so they're reinforcing that rationalization process until entire retirement accounts are drained. I've seen that happen when I worked for the FBI. We're seeing it happen today. They take advantage of the vulnerable through these types of scams. And again, those two things, more than anything, are what we really have to worry about when it comes to protecting our wealth.
Yeah. No, I talking about getting, you know, your computer taken over, I think it was either malware or some sort of phishing that my mother unfortunately clicked on, and they demanded, I think it was, first it was $500. They were communicating with her through her screen. So they took over her computer.
Right.
They then demanded $500. She immediately called me. I said, do not pay it. And then they threatened to destroy everything on her hard drive, which they did. So we're talking, my dad had just passed away, and we're talking about thousands of pictures and videos. Everything was completely wiped out off of her computer. Devastating. And, you know, fortunately we were able to work with somebody who was able to get all of that back by some miracle. We found somebody on Yelp that was able to do that for her. But you see it every day, you know, it's either with our clients, you mentioned all of the different scams you mentioned we've experienced.
Yeah.
And even, you know, just daily with what I'm seeing in terms of text messages, emails, I mean, everything. It's just, you feel like, and this is what we do for a living. And we still, there's an occasional text that comes through. It was, there's one on, was it the Easy Pass, Sam?
Yes.
So you get, you know, there's something that comes through about, you know, the toll pass being unpaid. I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't pay it. And you catch yourself at the last second before you click on it. And you can see how easily you can become a target of something like this. So it really is, you know, it's, especially for seniors, it's just terrifying. So
The easy pass scam is going around. I get about two or three of those a day.
Yeah.
That's a hot one right now.
So what can we do to protect ourselves? Like Darren said, I mean, everyone is impacted here. Ourselves, older people, it really doesn't matter. So what are some steps? What are some actionable items that our listeners can take away from this to help protect themselves?
Well, first of all, be careful about anything that comes in that's unsolicited, that's a phone, such as a phone call, a text message, an email, where they're telling you something is wrong or something has to be paid to rectify a situation. Those are usually related to scams. Most of the time, if a company like EasyPass, for example, thinks you owe them money because you went through a toll and you didn't pay for it, or you ran out of money in your account, you're going to get a physical letter in the mail, right? It's not going to be an email. So watch out for anything that comes electronically where they're telling you something's wrong and it's going to get worse unless you handle this right away. Don't click on links in those attachments in emails, or links in those emails, or in text messages as well when they're unsolicited. Usually they're related to tricks. They're trying to get access to your accounts and get you to pay money. I'll just give you another real simple example of how you can be tricked. So there was a scam recently that went around. It was an email that related to the AAA was giving you a free car emergency kit, and which was worth like $30, right? And people say, oh yeah, I'd love to have a free car emergency kit. Okay, you call this number and they say you won the kit, you just have to pay for the mailing of the kit, you know, for the postage, which was, you know, $10 or something. Oh, that sounds like a great deal. Well, give me your credit card. They give the credit card over the phone and they say, oh, well, that credit card didn't go through. Do you have another credit card? Oh, they give a second credit card. And meanwhile, they've got the credit card, the expiration date, the zip code, the 3-digit code for two credit cards now, you know, that type of thing. So the categories that I tell people to look out for, you've won something, right? You've missed something like a package. You better click here to figure out what that is, or anything involving gift cards or virtual currency. Those type of solicitations are probably, I'd say 99.9% are fraud, if not 100%.
Where are these, like the highest populations of these criminals? I mean, any particular country, and where is this all taking place? I mean, it's got to be, we're talking tens of millions of people to be able to pull this off.
Yeah, well, most of the criminals that the FBI has identified or the threats are coming from overseas. And they're out of the control or out of the jurisdiction of the FBI or other law enforcement agencies. And you, if you go to the FBI's website, you'll see a list of the top cyber criminals in the world, and none of them are in the United States. And so Russia and other countries are not going to extradite people here that have been identified as criminals because, you know, they don't do the extradition, number one. So there's no justice, because there's no consequences of deterrence. So even if they are identified, and they're not going to come here to face justice, and the problem just continues. But not if we know their tricks. So if we're careful of their tricks, that's how we stay protected. And so we've already talked about some ways that we can do that. And there's a lot of other things too that that you need to be careful from, careful about. Investment accounts. I'll just mention one other thing related to that. You might get a message that says that there's been an issue with your retirement plan. All right. And you may no need to take any action right now. Just want to make sure if you didn't make this transfer of, you know, $10,000. And then people say, well, no, I didn't do it. OK, don't worry. Someone's going to call you. So that prevents the victim from calling, you know, their investment company, whatever that is. And then someone calls up and says, I'm with your, you know, your custodian of your investment account. We got to protect your money. Let's move it to a safe account. Now, how many custodians of investment accounts or banks, credit unions, are going to tell you that the money in their account is not safe, that they need to move it somewhere else? You know, so that type of scam too, the one where they say, oh, we're going to protect you, is a problem. It's only going to get worse. They could get everything, but not if you let us help you. So that type of thing too is tricking people, because it scares people. It scares me.
Right. I was going to say the emotional aspect of it, I feel like, has evolved over time. It used to be just these silly scams, and now they're really kind of targeting victims and vulnerabilities. We've heard of like the grandparent scam. And I was just wondering if you have any kind of tools to have people. I mean, I know when I'm emotional, I make maybe drastic decisions. If I'm more level-headed, I can kind of take a step back and reevaluate. But I know with like the grandparent scam, it's very urgent. Somebody's in danger. How do you recommend people, like what are steps that people can take to try to avoid these kind of emotional situations?
Right. So, and that's the key. That key word is emotion. Because when we make emotional decisions, as you just mentioned, we could make bad decisions. We're not assessing risk properly. So whenever you're being pulled emotionally, you feel like through an email, a text message, a phone call, they're trying to manipulate your emotions. That's when you slow down. You don't act quickly based on that emotion. You think this through and you get help from family members or from your financial advisor, like you all would provide people if they called up and said, someone's trying to get me to do this. But with regard to the grandparent scam, this is a perfect example of how emotion manipulates people and also how AI is being used to enhance those scams. So if someone gets a call and says their family member's in trouble, I always tell people, hang up the phone. It's not your family member. Right now, then pick up the phone and call that person at a number you know to be for them. If they're in trouble, you're going to be able to help them. Right. But no, they're saying, don't call. You can't call me back. Don't tell anybody else in the family. Does that make any sense that someone's in trouble is going to say, don't tell anybody else? And they're using AI to take voices of victims, you know, potential grandkids, let's say. They go to TikTok, record a video, put it into a program called Speechify, and they can make it say anything they want. You know, and that is even more convincing for people. So what I recommend is that people have a code word in the family. I know it sounds kind of silly.
I love it.
So Jimmy calls up, Grandma, I'm really in trouble. I've been kidnapped. I've been arrested. I've been in a car accident. Any version of that type of thing. And the grandma says, Jimmy, well, you know, if this is really the case, what's the code word? And they have to talk. They don't know the code word.
Yeah, it's so simple, but so powerful to have. I feel like I need to call up my family and get that on on record.
Yeah, just remember the code word. That's key. You got to remember the code word.
That's the key. Yeah, that sounds like a comedy movie if you forget the code word.
Yeah, no. It's one of the things, you know, just thinking about everything that is involved in all of this, and you think about you know, kind of elderly clients and people who are most at risk, it's got to be incredibly overwhelming, right? Even listening to this podcast or just, you know, doing your own research, it's almost too much to the point where you just throw your hands up, right? So where do people go? Is there some place you can go? We can direct people, whether it's a website or, you know, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be something that people can go to on a regular basis and learn? I don't know if you do any tutorials online, or how do we consistently get the word out there more than a 25-minute podcast?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do presentations and webinars and things in person and in a virtual sense that gets into these type of things in a lot more detail. On my website, there's also my handout, which has 5 pages of all the things to look out for and how to stay safe from those things. So people can get that
in your book. Yeah.
There's also, I think the best resource, though, from a government standpoint, is the FTC website. That's the Federal Trade Commission. They have a fantastic website dedicated to fraud, what to look out for. And they're always updating it about the most recent scams. You can also report crimes to the FTC website. There's a way to take text messages that you may get and report them to the FTC as well. But the most important thing is it goes into detail about the most common tricks. And if you read that, and it's simply stated, simply understood. It's not like if you go to the FBI website and they talk about some complicated ransomware scam, you know, with getting into the details of the software. It's not like that. This is real stuff that we can all understand. So FTC.gov is a great resource as well as my handout, and then some the presentations that I do.
No, that's helpful.
I'm sure there's got to be some information on AARP, and so we'll do some research, and listeners can email us, and we can provide them with some of the things that Jeff's talking about today.
Jeff, I would love to talk about maybe briefly. If somebody. Information has been compromised, what steps should we be advising our clients? I mean, we have our protocol, but what steps should investors and clients and listeners take to help mitigate further destruction, further risk there?
Yeah. So it depends on what type of thing has happened. But in a general sense, the first thing you should do if you think someone's got your information, and we almost have to assume that they may have it. Our social security number has been breached so many times for so many different breaches at the company levels that have it. Freeze your credit reports. I think doing that preemptively will save you a lot of hassle and time. And when you freeze your credit reports at the 4 credit reporting agencies, no one can open up credit card accounts in your name or get loans in your name, because those accounts or your credit report is locked down. So if someone had your social and your date of birth, they can't victimize you that way. So freezing your credit reports is very easy to do, and it's free, and it doesn't affect any of your current relationships with your credit card companies and so forth. So that's number one. Also, your clients that are eligible to collect Social Security, 62 or older, they should create an online Social Security account. The government's going to make you do that anyway in the very near future, but set it up so no one can set up an online Social Security account using a stolen identity and then mess with your Social Security benefits.
Do you have to be a Social Security age? So age 62, right? I would imagine. So the earliest age that you're allowed to take Social Security. So you're saying, because I've logged in, I have a Social Security account, but obviously nobody can do anything until I turn age 62. So does it make sense to sign up immediately? I mean, regardless of whether or not you're taking to prevent someone else from tapping into that?
Yeah, it makes sense to set it up immediately, even if you're not 62, because you don't get paper from the Social Security Administration. It used to send you a yearly document that said, these are your estimated benefits, and you can check them against your earnings and say, yeah, that's right, I made this much money this year. You have to go to the online account now to do that. So you might as well set it up anyway, and then you're protected.
No, it's a great call.
I think that's important. And freezing your credit reports, as I mentioned, is another way to stay safe. If you get, and then you also asked, what if something happens? In a more general sense, there's a website, it's called identitytheft.gov. If you go to that site, you actually can put in your specific circumstances, what happened to you, and they'll tell you a list of things to do from those circumstances. So it's
that's great.
Customized approach. I like that site for that reason as well. That's identitytheft.gov.
Thank you. That's great. I haven't heard of that.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on some of these credit report protection, like LifeLock? I know I have LifeLock. You can go in there. I think you can toggle off all of the credit reporting agencies all at the same time or turn them back on. What are your thoughts overall in terms of the value?
You know, I think they do provide some value. If you freeze your credit reports and then you check them on a yearly basis, and then you have credit card alerts set up and your financial accounts are as well as credit cards. You have alerts set up. You're doing pretty much everything that LifeLock does for you without any kind of fee associated with that. But some people like the extra coverage, the coverage meaning that they'll call you when something, they'll notify you if something happens, but they'll have a resource that you can call up and help you work through that. And some people like those credit monitoring programs for that reason. I personally don't have one, but because I've done all those other things that they do, and with no fee associated with that.
Sure. I think it's all about kind of peace of mind. So that's great. I have one more question before we wrap up. What is your take on passwords and password managers? So I know you're supposed to have passwords for every login. I have a million logins, so that's super overwhelming to me. So can you tell us a little bit about passwords, tips and tricks there, and then password managers?
If there's one thing that frustrates people more than anything regarding online usage is passwords. And what I recommend when I do my presentations is don't use passwords, use passphrases, and have a different one for each account. And now that's really overwhelming. People say, well, wait a minute, I have 50 online accounts. I need to have a different passphrase. And that keeps you safest because someone can't get it in one place. And, you know, if they get it through an email breach and then they use that same password in another account and another account, another account, that's called credential stuffing. And you don't want to be victimized by that. So I try to use a different passphrase for every site. So, but it's kind of fun. You can make up a passphrase. So let's say you wanted your passphrase for Amazon. I like this one. Amazon has 2-day delivery and 1-day delivery and sometimes same day delivery. It's all free if you have Prime. And I'm thinking, here's a good passphrase for Amazon. They're moving towards a new model. It's free delivery yesterday. So, you know, you're going to get it before you even order things. So my passphrase for Amazon, as an example, would be free delivery yesterday. You want to make it at least 15 characters long. And then you don't need uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and symbols for some accounts. Some still require that. Now, in terms of password managers, yes. They will create them for you if you want. They'll keep track of them. They'll plug them in when you need them. They're considered to be safe and secure. And they're a good way to have the manage the passphrases or passwords in our life.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people get along without using some sort of, you know, I use Keeper, right? So it's some sort of password manager. I just don't know how the people do it, but they do it somehow. So I think that's great advice. All right, Jeff, we're going to wrap, but we want one last piece of advice you think would be helpful for our listeners. What are you seeing out there right now that more than anything you want us, our clients, to be careful of?
I think the phishing emails, or they're also called the phishing texts, which are referred to as smishes, are seeing more and more of those, especially on the texting side. So just watch out for any incoming text that where they're wanting you to respond to something. And here's another angle of that. When you get just a message that seems like it's directed towards somebody else, hey, we were going to meet for lunch today. We still on? Don't respond to those. Don't say anything in response, because that validates your cell phone number as a real number. You'll start getting more messages like that and potential scams.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. This has been amazing. As our listeners know, we like to ask our guests one final question, because at the end of the day, if you're not healthy enough to enjoy life, what's the point of your wealth? So what is one health and wellness tip or trick that you want to share that you honestly couldn't live without doing?
Well, for me in particular, it's walking my dog every day. It's good for me and good for the dog and my wife. We get out there and you get exercise. But if you don't have an animal or a pet to walk, just get out there and get some exercise every day. Get some fresh air. And I think exercise is probably one of the most important things you can do. It doesn't have to be, you know, killing yourself exercise. Just a little bit of movement, walking a couple miles a day. Whether it's on a treadmill or outside, I think is a great way to just to maintain some mobility and also just to make you a little bit healthier.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Well, listeners, I hope you found this helpful. There's so many different directions we can go. Jeff, we can have you on for 6 more calls. There's just so much content. And this really is a war. And it's a battle that you need to fight every day. You need to stay vigilant. And be skeptical of everything that you receive. Make sure that you just pause before you click, and just give it a second thought if it feels a little fishy. So, Thank you, Jeff, so much. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of More Than Wealth. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please subscribe. If there's anybody else out there you think could benefit, please share the link as well. And until next time, remember, true wealth isn't about what you have, it's what you become. And tune in for next episode this time next month, and we look forward to seeing you then. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast with Darren Gold and Samantha Hodgkins. If you've not subscribed to the podcast, please click the subscribe button below. This way, when the team comes out with a new podcast, it will show up directly on your listening device, and we humbly ask you to share this podcast, rate it, and leave a review, because this actually helps others find the show. And again, thank you for listening, and for Darren and Samantha, I'm your producer, RJ Malik, and we look forward to you joining us for our next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the More Than Wealth podcast. Click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Visit our website at advisors.ubs.com/thegoldgroup or give us a call at 617-261-2662. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Gold Wealth Management Group. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning.
Please do not transmit orders or instructions regarding a UBS account by email. For your protection, UBS does not accept and act on such instructions. Similarly, UBS does not accept trading instructions via voicemail, text messages, instant messaging, or facsimile. Do not include information containing account numbers, social security numbers, credit card numbers, passwords, or other personal information. Please speak directly with your financial advisor if you need to give instructions related to your account. Please be advised that where data regarding your account and/or accounts is provided in this email, it should not be considered official UBS books and records, official UBS records. Official UBS records are documents such as confirmations, statements, and portfolio management reports, which UBS provides to you periodically. In some cases, the data shown is taken from internal UBS systems and fluctuates with market and transaction activity. Assets in your account and/or accounts that are not valued daily, for example, alternative investments and annuities, are accurately reflected only in official UBS records. You should review your official UBS records for disclosures about those values and all of the information needed to understand the data provided with this email. For non-clients, if you do not want to receive these types of commercial email messages, please click Mail to /WMA-ICBRU@UBS.com. In the subject line, please put "I wish to opt out of further communications," and indicate that you do not want to be contacted by email. For more information about how UBS processes your data, including how we protect your rights and respect your data, please refer to our privacy notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/usa.html. If you're based in California, please refer to the California Privacy Notice at https://www.ubs.com/global/en/legal/privacy/ccpa.html. UBS Services, Inc. and UBS Bank USA are subsidiaries of UBS Group AG. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a member of SIPC, member FINRA, UBS Bank USA, member FDIC, NMLS number 947868.